Did you know you can save up to 70% on the best brands just by shopping at FromRebel.com? We're talking about strollers, car seats, high chairs, espresso machines, cookware, everything you need for way less. Here's how it works. Every single day, Rebel drops thousands of new products on the site for up to 70% off. It is a constant stream of endless deals from top brands like Abba Baby, Nuna, Baby Bjorn, Breville, Nespresso, KitchenAid, Le Creuset, and more. But you have to act fast because every deal is one of a kind. So if you see something you love, make sure you add to cart fast. So stop paying full price when you don't have to. Whether it's baby gear, kitchen upgrades, or a treasure for your home you didn't know you needed, Rebel has it for way less, up to 70% less. Shop from Rebel.com and save big.
Hello and welcome to episode 51 of the First and Goal podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined by Sim Longa. And Sim, we have finally made it. It is game week, game one of the 2025 season right around the corner. And I know the nerves have started, the excitement has started, but we finally made it, man.
Yeah, man. You know, last season felt painfully long. You know, because it wasn't great, and the off season felt like even more torturous. But to finally have made it to this point now, where like we actually get to talk about a game that's going to be taking place this week, and then you know subsequently we'll be able to talk about the game afterwards. You know, next week it is good. And like you said, my nerves have been fried, man. I think we were texting yesterday and I was like, yeah, the nerves have already started. So here we are.
Here we are. Game one, Saturday, 12 p.m. kickoff at Ross-Ade Stadium. The Purdue Boilermakers will take on the Ball State Cardinals, and it'll kick off the Barry Odom era at Purdue, the 138th season of Boilermaker football. And all I have to say is let's hope it's better than the 137th season. As the Boilermakers are looking to snap an 11-game losing streak, but it's a new year, it's a new day, and Sim, all eyes are going to be on Coach Odom and his staff. You know, we've spent the past 2 weeks kind of going through the roster overhaul. It's a completely different roster. I think I saw they had the most transfers of any university in the country. So brand new team. But, you know, I think they're, you know, obviously whenever you have a new coach, there's that level of excitement. And we talked about it, Sim, but Coach Odom kind of just has a very quiet confidence about him. And I think just the way that he has handled himself this offseason and in, you know, fall practice leading up to this game has kind of built up the excitement as well.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that he's been very smart, and I think calculated in the way that he's spoken about the team and about how they're preparing and kind of making sure not to be too boisterous to where, you know, it kind of gets us almost too excited or gets our expectations up to a level that maybe they shouldn't be coming off of last year. I mean, even listen to his presser on Monday, very much so sounds like they're just focused on building the basics. So just making sure that guys understand what their assignment is, that they're practicing the right habits and really ingraining that to where he talked about wanting guys to be able to play free, but be playing free on the basis of knowing how the style of football that we're going to play. And you know, he talked about situational football, all these little things about the details of the game, because I think he understands, like, look, while we might not be the most talented team head to toe, and I think we were kind of covering that over the last couple of weeks with, you know, the various position groups where we're like, hey, we have some high upside guys, or, you know, we have some guys who might have been, like, not as big contributors somewhere else. But while we might not be the most talented team in the country, if we're disciplined and you know, we're keyed in and knowing what we're supposed to do and playing the right brand of football, that's going to have us being more competitive than we were last year. And you know, as you and I have discussed multiple times. I think that's kind of what we all want to see at the bare minimum, is watch a more competitive, aesthetically more pleasing football, Purdue football team. And that's not necessarily going to lend itself to, 9, 10, 11 wins. At least that's not the expectation we're going to sit. We're, you know, we're going to be, we're going to sit here with. But that's the, I think he's, I think Coach Odom has done a very good job in terms of just the way that he's navigated this this offseason, this transition period, and just kind of with the way he's debriefed us as fans, and even and the media, of what to kind of expect going forward and what kind of they're keyed in on.
No, I agree. I think you kind of hit the nose on the head, kind of with the discipline, and just kind of like cleaning up the margins. And
Right.
it's, what we talked about ad nauseum last year, was, there was just a lot of empty plays, and there were in a lot of games, and a play here or there, mental mistake here or there. Whether it be a special teams miscue or, a mishandled snap or, a penalty at an inopportune time, like just those little things,
Right.
that
Long
just kind of
coverages.
just really, snowballed. And, starting there, could make the difference in, what could be a 2 or 3 win year to maybe like a bowl game. Like, it's that type of stuff, that really needs to get cleaned up. And I think, that's really been a point of emphasis for Coach Odom, and his staff. And,
Yeah.
I think, just outside of Odom too, just the staff in general, I think just really excited to see the offensive game plan. And we'll talk about kind of some guys that we want to see specifically on both sides of the ball here in a bit. But just from like a general standpoint, like, there was so much up and down last year. You had, your OC was up in the booth, and then he was down on the field, and then he got fired, and then your head coach, who had never called offensive plays, was calling offensive plays. And there was just a lot going on. And just to kind of have some hopefully stability and consistency from the offensive staff as a whole, I think is going to make a big difference too.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Like, we know we've highlighted the last couple of weeks about the experience that we have, and the experience that we have, and not just with like the coordinators, but even below that, and, position coaches and whatnot. And yeah, you just feel better about what this team will look like, and again, just having a sense of identity. I know Odom said that he, was talking about the depth chart, and how he's like, we don't have a, he's like, they haven't put out a depth chart yet, because he's like, we're still working on figuring out the ones, even when it's detailed as to say we're not even necessarily sure, like on offense or defense, what sets we're going to come out with. He was talking about, coming out with 12 personnel and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, yeah, I have this cautious optimism with Purdue, and it feels like we have the groundwork, and rather that not so much the groundwork, but we have that base of really being able, not maybe not necessarily this year, but in time, being able to build something, build it something special, and hopefully build something that's sustainable. Because kind of on a long-term thing, you kind of would like to be able to get somebody where, if this thing works out with Odom, we want him to be around here for a while, somewhere where, it's like, hey, he's going into his, 10th year, as Purdue head co as Purdue football coach, something like that, to where you're able to really build some sustainability and consistency, because it's been a while since we've had that as well. So yeah, just really, in a lot of ways, man, just really, really more at ease about the kind of the way we're going into the season. Not just with, even though, like, and I think it's good with the coaching staff to have that type of, I guess, like, comfort level, because of the fact that we have so many unknowns, just for like in terms of the players, like not necessarily that they suck, but like we just haven't seen a lot of them play. Like you said, we have, I think we have the most transfers in the country. I believe I saw in the game notes it said something about 54, and I think there's 80 some players who are in their first year at Purdue. So there's a lot of these guys who we haven't actually got to see, so we can't sit here and say for sure, well, we know we have this, but we can say we know we have this when it relates to our coaches, and I think that'll go a long way for us.
Yeah, no, I agree. And just to kind of bring everything full circle with Coach Odom, found this interesting stat from Purdue Sports where the Boilermakers will open this year with a three-game homestand, which is the first time that they've started the year with three games at home since 2018. And that homestand ended in a 42 37 loss against Missouri, who was coached by none other than Barry Odom. So pretty interesting
The
little
universe got
note
choked,
there.
man. The universe got choked, so
Kind of a very full circle moment. But
I hope Saturday isn't
anyway.
40 to 37, though. I mean,
God, I
if
hope
there's if
not.
there look if there's I'm gonna go ahead and say this now. If there is one part of if there's one part of last year I hope repeats itself this year, it's how game one goes in terms of that's the only thing.
Well, let's talk about game one. So it is going to be Ball State heading to Ross-Ade Stadium. Interestingly enough, the first of three in-state games. So the Boilermakers will play Ball State, Notre Dame, and IU all this year. Believe all three will be at home as well. But they will. It'll be
We go to
the
Notre Dame.
ninth meeting. What's that?
So we go to Notre Dame.
That's why I keep you around, sir.
Please
But
tell me
it'll
all
be the
Saturday,
ninth
man.
meeting. And the Purdue Boilermakers are 8-0 in the previous eight matchups against Ball State. Last matchup was in 2010, when the Boilermakers won 24-13. And Sim, we're gonna do predictions a little bit later, but man, I really hope it's not anywhere near a 24-13 game because I will not be able to take that kind of stress either.
24 to 13, man. I'll be double fisting in the stands. Let's just believe that. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to have this be stress free. Just like I said, man. If there's a game that's gonna mirror last year, I'm gonna need it to be this game.
But like we said, it'll be a noon kickoff on Big Ten Network. Jason Ross Jr. and Anthony Heron will be on the broadcast. And interestingly enough, Ball State also will be they have a pretty new roster as well, Sim, including a first-year head coach who spent his last 3 years at Butler and also a Purdue graduate, Mike Yuremovich, a 2000 graduate of Purdue University. And like we said, coached the last 3 years at Butler, where he was 23 and 11 before taking this job. So, they have quite a lot of roster turnover as well. So it'll kind of be interesting, I think that's kind of just this day and age with the roster turnover, but also just kind of interesting that both teams are going to be have a new staff as well.
I mean, like I just mentioned, Purdue's gonna have what, 82 new faces on the roster, and it says apparently Ball State's gonna have 53. So yeah, when you talk about, hey, what do you expect to see? You really don't know. To have such turnover within two programs and to have them facing off in the first game of the year, it's really gonna be a game where you're just kind of I. It, that's why I guess kind of going into a bit of like a of a game prediction. That's why it kind of wouldn't surprise me if. You're seeing somewhat of like if you see I guess some big plays I guess from both sides early because people are going to be trying to figure out okay what does the other one like to do and so in those situations I think they can lend themselves to some big plays but it'll be very interesting to see kind of what team settles in first. Obviously we hope it's Purdue but yeah it's I think this is a unique scenario to have this many new players and obviously coaching staffs on both sides that are brand new facing off in the first game of the year where they're it's really going to be the first time where both teams are getting those live reps to try to figure out, okay, who are we?
Yeah, and kind of the big name to watch on Ball State is going to be the quarterback Kyle Kelly. And the thing that just jumps out about him is just how how good of an athlete he is. So he played quarterback, tailback, and wide receiver last year. And in 2023 at Ball State, he threw for 577 yards and two touchdowns and ran for 724 yards and seven touchdowns. So just an overall athlete. And you got to think, obviously all eyes are going to be on him. And he's really going to be a point of emphasis for the defense.
Yeah, absolutely. A guy who's more than a dual threat. I mean, obviously we're going to talk about Ryan Brown kind of in the same light, but Kelly seems like he is really he's the epitome of athleticism at that QB spot. For him to be able to be such a strong contributor in so many ways, throwing, running, and then the fact that, yeah, you say he lined up at receiver as well is kind of nuts. So, defense, lane discipline, rush discipline, very important. And all eyes on him for sure.
So let's talk about the defense a little bit, Sim. I know we kind of went through like the whole roster last year, or not last year, but two episodes ago, specifically with the defense. And, with there being so many new faces, I know it's kind of tough to, hone in on specific guys. But one guy for me to really keep an eye on is going to be Tony Grimes, defensive back who followed Coach Odom from UNLV, was also named one of the eight captains for this season. And he really kind of seems like a guy that's, going to be, I don't think he'll be calling like the plays from the defensive side, like letting the team know, but he's one that's going to bring that experience from playing with Coach Odom. And, he's also a really good defender as well. And Purdue is really going to need his leadership, especially on the back end there.
I mean, last year I think we can probably all go back in our heads and find a number of occasions in which we saw our sec someone in our secondary trailing someone from the opposing team. So to have a guy like Tony Grimes, who, like you said, who one is familiar with Coach Odom and so the style and the expectation of what he wants, but also is seasoned in his own right to where he's able to instill his knowledge upon the other guys that he's with. You're gonna need his leadership in a big way. And I believe Coach Odom even said again in his presser on Monday, he said that Tony Grimes was the guy who he thinks has made the biggest strides this offseason. So if he was good last year, you're definitely curious to see, okay, well, what does he do? Like, what does it look like if he was good last year? What well then what is he what's he gonna look like now? So yeah, definitely excited to see what he's able to do, not just and obviously not just in this game, but all season long.
Anybody else on the defensive side of the ball that you're gonna have your eye on specifically?
I think the guy who I'm gonna have my eye on is probably gonna be Manny Powell, and I say that because one, the linebacker core, I think that was one of the that's one area of potential strength for Purdue on defense. But Manny Powell, if you're a guy who's named on the Butkus Award watch list, that to me is kind of a it's kind of a line in the sand in terms of like, hey, like this is a guy who we need to make sure we're paying attention to and see how he's able to impact the game. You were talking about Tony Grimes and how you're not sure if he's going to be the guy who's calling in the plays. It wouldn't be surprising to me if Manny Powell was the guy who was getting the calls and relaying them in. He, just like Tony Grimes as well, is one of the eight captains on the team. So when we talk about guys who we're looking to be leaders, along with Tony Grimes, I'll look at Manny Powell, and so I'm really excited to see kind of what he's able to do. Because yeah, there were times last year. Well, I mean, honestly, you could say it again. Just the defense was getting cooked last year. So anywhere we can have some strengths, we can have some guys who show out. It's just going to be a much needed help, much needed change.
Yeah, and it seems like he's really going to be kind of leaned on in a game like this where you're going to have a dual threat quarterback,
Right.
who can run, who can throw, Who can pretty much literally do everything out on the field. You're going to need guys like Manny out there at the linebacker spot, almost to run a spy on him
I was going to say, yeah,
and
run a
see.
spy and just, yeah.
So I'm with you. This seems like a really big game for him. And it wouldn't like shock me if you kind of look up at the end of the day and he's in double digit tackles and just kind of a guy that's kind of all over the field there.
Yeah, which wouldn't be a bad thing.
Right. Could be wishful or hopeful thinking on my part there.
Right.
Switching over to the offense sim, we'll each kind of highlight a guy as well on the offensive side, but I did want to just talk about Ryan Brown also specifically, because all eyes are going to be on him. We already spoke about, the kind of interesting offseason that he had transferring from North Carolina and then back all in the same spring. But kind of moving ahead to this year, like he was a guy last year that really showed glimpses. I know you when you hear Ryan Brown, you immediately think of the Illinois game last year and what he can be. And when we talk about just the consistency from the coaching standpoint, Ryan really seems to be like a guy that can benefit the most from that.
Yeah. Last week we were talking too about, like you said, we all look at that Illinois game. We're like, hey, that's what Ryan Brown can be. But also in those other games, I think it said it was in eight games last year. You never really saw like that Illinois game was really the outlier. And so, with some coaching and like you just mentioned with the experience that we have between at the like one with the OC and then the quarterback coach. Well, I'm spacing on a name. I know John Henson, of course, but
Inshallah.
Henshaw. Yeah, that's right. Henson and Henshaw. That works out. But between those two, you expect him to make some strides in terms of his in terms of just his overall ability to play the quarterback position. I mean, we were talking about Kelly for Ball State and how he's an athlete. I mean, yeah, we know Ryan Brown's an athlete as well. It's something I guess I'm kind of looking forward to him. Looking forward with Ryan Brown is just kind of seeing him, how does he grow as being a quarterback? I think sometimes if a guy's really good at running, he can almost lean on it too much. And you want to see that he's able to make really all the throws, make the short throws, make the intermediate throws, and make the long throws. And if he's doing that, Coach Odom talks about how he talked about how even when he announced that Brown was starter, he said that I feel like though we have guys in that quarterback room who can play winning football. And I think that playing winning football doesn't necessarily mean that you're being the most dynamic person on the field, but it means you're being smart with the football. You're making the necessary throws, making the proper reads. And in his case, because he is a dual threat, knowing that decision making of knowing when to, hey, tuck the ball and run. So yeah, I really curious but excited to see what more of Ryan Brown can what more can he give us over, like now with the larger sample size, with really having a proper off season where he at least knew, hey, I'm going to be like in the running to get like the everyday snaps, to be QB1.
No, I'm with you there for the kind of nervous excitement to see him out there. One guy who I'm going to keep an eye on is going to be his backfield mate. Should be no shock there, Devin Mockabee. Just would really like to see him kind of hit the ground running, no pun intended, and just get off to a good start. We kind of talked about how he's less than 1,200 yards away from breaking the all-time rushing record at Purdue, which is something that would be really neat to kind of track throughout the year. But it really feels like, games like this, he's going to need to put up some numbers to kind of have a shot at getting there. So, curious to see how they use him, and if he can really get going in the backfield there. And your hope is in a game like this to build a lead, and then he can kind of do his thing in this second half there.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, he's 1,200 some yards away from getting to to Mike, and it's kind of like you need these early games. Those are kind of where you got to pad the stats a bit, to be able to really put yourself in position, because obviously the season games will only get tougher as you get on the end of the season. You can't sit there and be like, oh, well, you need to average 140 a game, to get it right, and think that's kind of reasonable. But yeah, again, like Mock has shown us over the years that he's able to not only run out the backfield but catch out of the backfield as well. And so just excited for him to get an opportunity in this offense. And honestly, I kind of hope he does his damage early in the first half, and that we're it's belt to ass so much that in the second half he's sitting out, and we got other people who are in getting reps. Because if he's playing in the second half, I'm not gonna lie to you, that anxiety level, again, the drink count, it might all go up.
What about on the offensive side there? Who are you keeping your eye on?
Yeah, so I'm gonna look at the King of Pop himself, Michael Jackson the third. Obviously hearing all the rave hearing all the hearing like just kind of how he's really stood out in camp, and just kind of knowing where his background is in terms of the schools he's been to before, USC and Georgia. Just want to see it like. See how that translates, obviously now that he's at Purdue. So I'm definitely looking at him. Again, he's another guy who was named captain. And then also my honorable mention for offense is actually the tight end group. We were talking about them last week, and yeah, I just kind of want to see, what guys are, not necessarily to see one guy who necessarily sticks out, but just I guess to get an understanding of, like, all right, well, who's good at what? And kind of understanding that, and do we actually have a few guys here who can be interchangeable? I think that's another group, because I don't feel like we can necessarily be the team we want to be on offense, whether it's running or passing, without having some viable tight end options. So as a group, I'm going to be looking for them. And I apologize if you can hear the sirens in the background. So.
But yeah, that's a good call out. Like, a lot of interesting kind of guys who we talked about last week. And I think kind of the exciting thing about the tight end position is like the different kind of skill sets that they all bring. So you got, one guy who's, can bring the size and athleticism. You got another guy who can play like tight end, fullback type role. And just, can all bring like a different skill set. So it'll really be interesting to kind of see how all of those guys are utilized. And it'll be interesting to see kind of what happens. But let's see. It's prediction time. And we will start by saying, if you are into this kind of thing, Purdue, I believe, opened up as like an 18.5 point favorite. I'm not sure where the line is at currently. But that seems pretty spot on to me. Kind of in that general area. This would be a game that, I probably, especially like this day and age, I don't know if I'd really want to place any bets on any teams in week 1 just because of all the roster turnover. You really don't have any idea about any team. But 18 in that area seems probably pretty close. And in fact, for me, I'm going to say that Purdue wins 31 to 13. So I'm riding kind of that general area. I think the Boilermakers are going to get out to a big start. I think it's going to be a really nice atmosphere at Ross-Ade. You got perfect weather. It's going to be a packed house. I think, with the energy of Coach Odom's game 1, and the players are gonna build off that. And so I'm going 31-13 Boilermakers.
Okay. I was going to say, actually myself, I was going to say 34-17. Kind of feel the same way. I feel like we'll be able to jump on them early, get a couple scores. And then I think as they settle, as really as both sides settle in, obviously I'd love for the defense to be able to keep a clean sheet, but I think that they're really going to be able to kind of settle in, especially defensively. And I could just see, yeah, I just I see. I can see, like, like you said, the spread being about 17, and what I think I just saw it was 17 and a half. So, that's not necessarily a blowout, but I can just more so I can see Purdue just kind of controlling the game. So where it's maybe it's not like it's out of hand to where, hey, like, we can leave early type stuff, but you hopefully we never feel as though Purdue doesn't have control over it, you know. Yeah, I'm hoping that, Ryan Brown, that he's able to move the offense efficiently. You get good games out of obviously Mock and Michael Jackson III, so that way obviously I can come back on here and be like, yep, I told y'all. And then also too, from the defense, you want to see some guys make some plays, and you'll see us get to the quarterback, maybe force a few turnovers. And I think that can give us a couple short fields that are also, like, result in some points. So yeah, I mean, I see it for myself. Just to be a little different from you, I will say 38-17.
All right,
Yeah,
well,
that's what I'll go with.
I hope that we are both in the same general area because, like we talked about, we just need a win in the worst way.
I was gonna say, man, these predictions is fine, but, like, Purdue just fucking win, man.
Just win.
Just
But
win, man.
hopefully we are right. But again, noon Eastern kickoff, Ross 8 Stadium, Big Ten Network. Jason Ross, Anthony Heron on the call. Game one of the Barry Odom era gets set to kick off in what should be perfect weather, what should be a fun atmosphere, and hopefully what hopefully will be a week one victory. But either way, we will break it all down next week. Real quickly, just wanted to switch gears a little bit. We would be remiss if we didn't talk about not only is Coach Odom and his squad getting ready to start week one, but Coach Shondell and the Lady Boilers are getting ready for their first week. And man, Sim, do they really? We talked a little bit about it on the preview pod, but man, they hit the ground running here in this first week.
Yeah, man, they it's no joke. It's no joke. The season starts, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, ranked team, ranked team, ranked team. And they play a lot of games, like, really quickly. They have the game against USF, and then immediately turn around and then play Tennessee, and that's gonna be in Nashville. And then what is it, 2 days later, 2 3 days later, they play Georgia Tech. So I mean, they the ladies they're definitely gonna have a challenge for themselves, to start off the season. And that Tennessee game, I'm really intrigued to see. Also, I mean, the fact it's on ESPN too, so it'll be easier to watch. But yeah, I mean, that just playing against, I mean, obviously we've seen historically Purdue has done well against Tennessee in the state of Tennessee. Early season, obviously that's going to be a raucous environment, so that'll definitely be a challenging atmosphere for them. And then, like I said, playing Georgia Tech, and they play Bowling Green, but then again they turn around and they play Kansas, and this is all what over the next week. And Kansas, to my understanding, they just took Penn State to 5 sets. So that Kansas team seems like they might be pretty damn good this year. So the ladies, definitely, they don't really have any time to ease their way into the season. They're just kind of, hey, season starts, wake up.
No, they definitely do not have any time. And starting Friday, you alluded to it, 5 matches in a week. And just to kind of highlight those, they will start, like you said, Friday the 29th. That is a 11:30 a.m. start time. That'll be in Knoxville against South Florida. And then, like you said, Sunday, Bridgestone. In Nashville, 3 p.m. start on ESPN2, and then back home in West Lafayette for the Stacy Clark Classic, which starts Wednesday the 3rd, at 7 p.m. That'll be on Big Ten Plus. Bowling Green then on Thursday the 4th, also at 7 p.m., also on Big Ten Plus, and then they wrap it up Friday the 5th, 7 p.m. as well. Also on Big Ten Plus. So, a couple of ranked matches in there. You got the match at Bridgestone. Like, You're going to find out a lot about this squad very early on, and excited to see what happens because I've and we talked about it in the preview a little bit, but it's kind of almost like the Matt Painter way where like schedule some tough opponents early on and see where you stand
They find out who they
and
are.
then kind of go from there.
And I think, yeah, Nate was very much so kind of reemphasizing that about how, there's a good chance that this Purdue team takes some lumps, in the non-con. And then obviously too, the Big Ten historically as a volleyball conference is good. So, you're hopeful that even if they do take some lumps in the non-conference season, that it more so it just it's they're more of teaching instances to where the team can grow from, and then when we get into to Big Ten season and really be able to lock in. But like you said, 5 games in a week and those three that are back to back to back. I'm actually very surprised that two of the that the you know the Georgia Tech and the Kansas games are on Big Ten Plus. Those kind of feel like to me they should be on regular Big Ten, but what do I know? I'm just a regular guy. But I'm definitely definitely gonna be interested to see how the ladies fare out this next week for sure.
So best of luck to them as they get their season rolling. And as we wrap things up, we would be also remiss if we didn't wish Matt Painter a happy birthday. Turned double nickel today on the 27th. So shout out to Coach Paint. Happy birthday. Bring us an
Yeah, and hop on the pod if you want to paint.
A. But that'll just about do it on this episode. Hopefully next episode we are talking about a Purdue win. It's been a long time since we've had a chance to talk about a Purdue football victory. So cross your fingers, cross your toes that that's what we will be talking about on the next podcast. But either way, we will be here to break it all down. But God, let's hope it's a win.
Win or lose, we booze. It's literally been
Yeah,
a year since we talked about a Purdue win. So yeah, I'm with you, man. It's just predictions aside, just win. And at the end of the game, if they have as long as they have more points than as long as they have more points than Ball State, I'll be fine. And then obviously, like you said, we'll be back here to talk about it. And even if it was a stressful game, we can all recap it stressfully together as a family. The right way, with our beverages in hand. So, yeah.
make sure you have the clay hearts ready. Make sure you probably have some whiskey or bourbon ready as well. At this point, you might want to have this champagne ready too, because I feel like it's
Deadass.
worth it to pop it if we win.
Right.
But either way, we will be there to break it all down. Sim, I know you'll be there, so have a good time. I will be watching from my seat, drinking many play hards. Trying not to yell at the TV too much, but all in all, I think we're just happy that the games are back. But we'll be a whole hell of a lot more happy if we can talk about a Boilermaker victory.
Big
We shall
facts.
see. But let's go win one and let's boiler up.
Yes, sir.